call the meeting to order, and first of all, we have the review and approval of the January 18th minutes, and are there any comments? Changes, additions? Move approval?
I'll second.
Done deal, all in favor? Aye, all those opposed can leave that back door right there. You got me on the wrong name, didn't you? Okay, new business. Shall we begin with the, or, there's no, well, there's sort of a public, but you can comment later independently if you'd like, under your title there. But for now, no public comment, so we'll move on to new business. And begin with 4.1, the Transit Shelter Subcommittee by Amy Segan.
So as you recall, we do have subcommittees in this committee. One is our Safe Routes to School Subcommittee. We have our Regional Transportation Subcommittee as well. So now we're asking for the chair to make recommendations for a Transit Shelter Subcommittee. Darlene is going to work on that this year, so we do need about 1 to 3 TAC members to form this subcommittee for the Transit Shelter Subcommittee. So do we have anyone who'd like to volunteer?
Let's see, there's 3 of us here. Do we have any of us who would like to volunteer?
Well, no, it's not going to be once a week. It'll likely be probably 3 to 4 meetings in total. The committee will be working with Darlene to identify new transit shelters. We want to replace the existing transit shelters throughout the city. We want to add new shelters in the Derby Valley area, and we have money from County Connection, and so we want to utilize as much of their money as we can to replace some of our older existing shelters and then add new shelters out in the Derby Valley. So the committee will likely meet 3 or 4 times at the most. And we'd like the majority of the work to be done by, let's see, what month are we in? Probably by June of next year.
Okay. How many members are
we looking for? So we can't have a quorum, so we can have up to 3 committee members to form the subcommittee.
I'm assuming that we're filling the vacancies.
Do you want to wait until we can bring this item?
I was wondering.
March 6th, where the Planning Commission will be interviewing candidates for TAC on March 6th. Yeah. So we'll fill those vacancies.
Yep.
Okay, that's Al.
Yep.
And then we can ask if new committee members join. We can ask 1 or 2 of those new committee members if they'd be interested.
Yep.
And even just 1 would be fine as well.
Sure. So, yeah, if none of them went to
okay.
Add that you can add me.
Okay. Perfect. We can bring it up again.
Because I don't know who's, you know, there may be someone that's more transit oriented.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do
sounds
want to give the new members a chance, but if they don't, I can be honest, I can be too.
Okay. Great.
Is there an issue about being in multiple subcommittees?
No.
Really, you could be on 20 subcommittees.
You can be on all our subcommittees if you wanted to.
Gosh, help us if we have 20 subcommittees. No, thank you.
Yeah, it's fine.
I thought there was some limitation on the number of committees or subcommittees or something.
So for official city committees, you can only be a part of 1. But subcommittees of the committee you serve on, you can be on multiple.
That's probably what it is. So you can only be on 1 city committee, but the subcommittees of those. Okay.
That's theoretically, you could be on the committee and then on all the subcommittees for that
you
matter.
You can.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't be on TAC, and then you can't be on the EDAC or the Arts Advisory Committee.
Okay, I got you. I just wanted to clarify that because I read something in that information that you sent us in there.
The bylaws.
A restriction to.
So how would this work? I mean, if we would just have a list of recommendations, then we bring it forward to you guys, and then you
What we're envisioning is County Connection has a vendor that we do need to use, and the vendor has a an inventory of different types of transit shelters. So the committee will help Darlene select transit shelters. We'll forward that to the policy, the city's policy advisory committee. They'll make the final decision.
Okay.
So the subcommittee will make a recommendation. We like this style of transit shelter. And then you'll make that recommendation. And then the committee will also go out and do a city tour to look at where we are contemplating installing new shelters.
I see.
And then when we're doing the final specs for each of the new shelter locations, you'll work with Darlene to make sure that yes, this shelter in front of the college, we would like to see, you know, a trash receptacle, and here are all the locations. And so, you know, again, it should be 3, maybe 4 meetings.
Okay. And if the buses, you choose to stop in front of your house, so they can take you to BART, and that's all that shows up, that's going to be shot down.
Because likely what will happen is if, and we've seen this happen, if it's the city staff selecting the shelter, somebody will come and say, who's picked that? The city staff. Why? Why didn't you ask the community what they want?
That's
so,
absolutely true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
okay. So are we
going
to get one shelter?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Are we going to get the shelter in the senior center?
No, the senior center, yes. That's on our list, yes.
Okay, any other questions, issues, or comments, or do we need to, you don't need to move on that?
We're good.
No, we're good. Okie doke, moving on to the 5-11 contract conference.
Yes.
All right, go do it, Carly.
Well, thank you. So this evening, what I wanted to do was just to provide the committee members with a brief overview of the progress so far on the 501 Contra Costa strategic plan. So to provide you guys with a little bit of background, back in July of 2016, the Contra Costa Transportation Authority approved an expenditure of $100,000 to develop a 511 Contra Costa countywide strategic plan. The strategic plan will review all the existing 511 Contra Costa programs and then provide recommendations on the current programs in regards to performance and just possibly adding some new modern technology that's out there in today's world of TDM, which is Transportation Demand Management. On July the 19th, 2017, CCTA approved the scope of work for the strategic plan and authorized the release of a request for proposals. The requests for proposals were circulated in September of 2017, and proposals were due a month later in October. CCTA received 3 proposals from the following consulting firms. It was ADC Partners, AECOM, and Mott MacDonald. So, and then on October 19th, CCTA held interviews, and there was an oral board. I was a part of that oral board where we interviewed all 3 of those consulting teams. And a decision was made to move forward with AECOM as a selected consulting firm to work on the strategic plan. January 10th of this year, AECOM and CCTA held a project kickoff meeting. Lisa and I both were at this meeting, and we just basically laid out the next steps of the strategic plan. The plan is is scheduled to be completed by the end of this year, December 2018. So the next steps right now, CCTA and AECOM, they are putting together what they're calling stakeholder interviews. And basically what they're doing is they are reaching out to the regional transportation committees. And they want to interview individuals on these committees on what they know about 501 Contra Costa.
kind of get their feedback. What works, what doesn't work, what do you know about it, do you know about it, and kind of get an idea of what these different regional transportation committees know. And then they're going to interview elected officials from different cities. So so then that's basically the same concept. It's just, what do you know about 501 Contra Costa? Then the second step where this committee will partake in would be they're going to create a survey. And this survey is going to be an online survey. We're in the process of creating the survey, creating the questions. And this survey is going to go out to the public. Same kind of concept. What do you guys know about 501 Contra Costa? Have you heard of 501 Contra Costa? Have you utilized any of the benefits of 501 Contra Costa? So we're working on all that. We haven't gotten the date of when this survey is going to be sent out to the public. But the stakeholder interviews will take place next month in March. So anything else, Dwayne? I think that was pretty basically the...
So that public survey, so that'll be available, so we can direct like San Ramon residents to go
correct
to this.
Well, that's what we're, as soon as they create
survey. Okay.
I believe they are creating the survey through SurveyMonkey, which then will generate a link. That link will be sent out to me, and then I can forward that link on to, like Lisa said, the city website, to this committee, to the TDM advisory committee, and that way we can get a lot of input. So, you know, the survey questions, they're being created. The timeline of the survey still needs to be discussed.
Right, okay.
But the goal is to get this strategic plan completed by December of this year.
And at the end of the day, what the Transportation Authority would like to do, it's really twofold. One is do an overhaul of the current 511 Contra Costa TDM programs. As Darlene mentioned, what's working, what's not working, what incentives could be enhanced, what incentives should we do away with, should the focus now be more technology-based, should we be focusing more of our resources on rideshare apps, on private sector companies like Uber and Lyft? Should we continue with van pool incentives, with the countywide guaranteed ride home program? That's the first phase. Then the second phase is, where do we see the program going 5, 10, 15
correct
years from now? And how can the program evolve year after year? Because, you know, Atul, you know this, transportation technology is changing, especially the way people get, I mean, today, the way people get to work is so different than perhaps 20 years ago. The way people, you know, carpool ride matching is so different today. People go online now, they do Scoop, they do, you know, people have no qualms getting in Uber car these days, whereas 10 years ago you heard of Uber and people, I don't know, man, I'm not getting in this car. So that's really what the authority is looking at. Where have we been? What's worked? What's not working? And should we continue with these programs? And then where should we put our money in the future in terms of new technology or some traditional incentive programs? The other thing that's a challenge is the workforce is so different in this county. You know, you have transit-dependent riders. You still have a large contingency of people who do rely on public transit. Do they all have iPhones where they can download a rideshare app? Probably, but are they using those rideshare apps? How will autonomous vehicles help, you know, in the future of mobility and ride sharing? And so that really, we haven't done this. I've been at the city for 20 years, and before that I was at Pac Bell for 7 years working on TDM programs at Pac Bell, and there hasn't been a Contra Costa countywide strategic plan in over 20 years. So this really is an endeavor for them to really look at where have we been, what's working, and where do we want to go as a county. So I think that survey for the public is going to be really important, because you have such this, you know, we were talking about this the other day. You have this, you know, the millennial group, right? Amy's in the, I don't want to offend anybody. I know she's in the millennial group.
The kids.
Yeah. I mean,
kids.
You know, they, it's just so different, you know, the way they, you know, commute, you know, bicycling is a huge deal now, and suburban versus urban areas are really different, and how people want to get to work, and so that's really the goal of the strategic plan. So getting that survey out,
yes,
and surveying, you know, the different demographics in this county, the different age groups, and really getting a comprehensive look at where the TDM program should go in the future. So,
so is that plan going to also discuss funding opportunities,
yes,
for these,
yes,
recommendations?
Yes. Because today, Measure J has a line item in the expenditure plan for TDM programs.
Okay.
So Darlene oversees the TDM programs for the city and for the Southwest region. So she gets money from Measure J, and then we also get Air District money, TFCA, or Transportation Fund for Clean Air. So the authority wants to look, are we using our Measure J and our TFCA money in the most cost-effective way? Are we getting the biggest bang for our buck? When we reimburse a vanpool driver for riding in a vanpool for 3 months, is that the best way to use our money? Should we just subsidize shuttles all over the county and do away with all the other incentives and just subsidize shuttles? So those are all things that AECOM will be looking at. And AECOM is also, one of the things that I liked is that they're looking at best practices around the world, not just in the U.S. You know, because Europe is so far ahead of what we do in the States in terms of TDM and ride sharing. Some of the things that they do in Switzerland and in Paris is just so, you know, so much further than what we do here. And so they're also looking at that. They're looking at best practices in Europe, best practices around the world, and then TDM best practices around the country.
Who's the PM at AECOM?
Lilia Scott.
Mm-hmm.
She has a TDM rideshare background. Mm-hmm. And then who's the?
I know it's, his first name is Raymond, but I can't think of his last name.
Yeah, I've only met them once, but
yeah,
they're a pretty good team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So for us as TAC, where do we come into this?
When that community-based survey comes out,
okay,
we really want you to respond to that,
yes,
and then send it out to your network of friends,
correct,
and neighbors.
Okay.
And then you all represent very diverse groups within the community, and you all work, you're in real estate, you're you know, Atul's a traffic engineer, Min, you work out in the South Bay, you know, Bob's retired. It would be really helpful,
yep,
and Susan, the senior community, really want to hear from the senior community. I forgot that that's another component of this,
that's,
you know, hearing from the senior community on what the needs are. I mean, there's other endeavors that are taking place for the senior community with Measure J, but it'll be important to get input from all the different segments of the population.
And as far as the businesses, do you want the chamber to go ahead and handle the businesses?
Yes. Yeah, I will work directly with the chamber.
With Stuart and
the Bishop Branch Business Park, and then employers outside of Bishop Branch. We are going to send this out to as many people as we can.
Mm-hmm. Stuart has a list of all the
Yes. Perfect. Yeah.
Jane. You know, one thing in the transportation area that I've always wondered in the past 5 years or so is with the big push on bicycle riding.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That we have found some organizations developing a process to get the riders and their bicycles somewhere, or get riders to areas where there's groups of bicycles that they can get out, you know, like the ones we have here, you can
like
pick
the
up
bike
and
shares.
Ride around,
uh-huh,
bike shares.
Uh-huh.
That could have a big impact in
mm-hmm.
some different areas if they came up with some program like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it won't quite get to the beam me up Scotty routine, but
mm-hmm.
you know, that'll get a lot of people off the roads.
Because
think of the people who would come in if they could to Santa Rosa. and Bishop Ranch, I think, is going to be at the forefront of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But be able to come into San Ramon, get dropped off by the bus or car or by whatever it is, go there, pick up your bicycle, and there you go into San Ramon all day long on your bicycle, and you get done. At the end of the day, you take your bike back and off you go. A concept which we kind of have evolving right now, but I think we're going to see that go far, far beyond where it is now.
You know, the other thing we're also seeing too, and Darlene works with school sites, but we're seeing more and more kids who are not getting their license at 16, 17. I mean, I got my, permit at 15 and got my license at 16. I was at DMV on my 16th birthday getting my license, but we're just not seeing that. And one of the things we're hearing from school sites is, more and more parents are dropping their kids off because they don't want to drive. And so, I mean, that's also interesting, and so it'll be interesting to see what type of response we get from school sites and parents of teenage kids and whatnot.
And the traffic had gotten so insane anyway that, it was one thing to let your kid on the road when there was going to be 50 cars on it. Now that there's 7,522 cars on it, you think it's then maybe I might not get my kid on the road. Any questions or other comments? Really, thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
Okay, and moving along to
the bike master plan update. Yes. Okay.
Have I got this down or what?
Okay. So the staff report that all of you have. There's an outline and an update on what we've been doing with the Bike Master Plan. And several of you are members. Thank you, Darlene.
You're welcome.
Several of you are members of the Bike Master Plan Subcommittee. And so you've been getting updates from Brooke and Megan on the Bike Master Plan. So I'm going to just kind of walk through where we are in terms of the update. And then I wanted to get some feedback and input from all of you on the priority matrix that we have in the packet, and then kind of share with you where we are today. There's a lot of moving pieces, and we're at the crunch. It's crunch time right now with the Bike Master Plan and getting it reviewed by, we have, four different departments at the city that need to review it. And there are at least 8 different chapters of the plan. There's a project list of 87 projects totaling $11 million that we need to score and rank. There's a toolkit. So all of these moving pieces are all in draft form. And so I'll just walk through where we've been, what we're doing today, and then what's going to happen in the next month and a half, because it really is crunch time, the next month and a half. So the staff report talks about the development of the Bike Master Plan. All of you know that we've hired Tool Design Group to lead us in this effort. Brooke DeBose and Megan have been our consultants working with us on the plan. So we formed a Bike Master Plan committee. Alan, Bob are on the committee. The committee is also made up of city staff from various departments, from PD, public services, engineering, planning, transportation, parks, our parks department. And then we have representatives from Bishop Ranch, the school district, teen council, and who am I missing? I think I'm missing somebody. The chamber?
TDM.
Oh, the TDM Advisory Committee. That's right. So the committee has met 3 times. And it's a very active committee. We're getting a lot of good input and feedback from the committee. We also implemented this wiki map, and all of you, hopefully you participated on the wiki map. There's a copy of it in your packet. This was last year. We had this wiki map available for the public to go on and tell us where are your issues and concerns. And so we had a very comprehensive robust number of people who submitted comments and feedback on the wiki map. We did a city tour. The city tour was with the bike subcommittee members. Oh, and I'm sorry, Mark Ballack is on the committee. That's who I was forgetting.
Yeah.
you know, he used to be on TAC. He's no longer on TAC, but he's on, yeah, he's one of our very vocal advocates on the bikes. Yeah, how can I forget Mark?
How could you ever say, how do you forget Mark?
Yeah, how did I forget Mark, right? So it reminded me of Mark because when we did the city tour, Mark was practically doing the whole tour because he had all the, you know, here's the problem here. Yeah. And so it was great to have Mark on that tour because Mark is a huge cyclist, right? He cycles all over the city. And so the city tour, it was one of the hottest days last June. It was hot. And we were on this van, although the van was air conditioned, but getting on and off, you know, by the time we got to some of the last stops, nobody wanted to get off. It was just way too hot. But we went all around the city. And we looked at different areas at the city. We looked, you know, within Bishop Branch Business Park, some of the commercial districts along San Ramon Valley Boulevard. We looked at areas where we have a lot of conflict with motorists and pedestrians and cyclists. We looked at school sites, access to school sites. Out in Derby Valley, we looked at the new Derby Road, you know, trail where the old Derby Road has been, will be converted to a trail. We looked at a lot of access to parks. And so that was very helpful for the consultants to hear feedback from the committee, for the committee members to express what their frustrations are with what some people perceived as the lack of infrastructure. So that was very helpful, and that really told the consultants and city staff where our emphasis and focus need to be. So that was done last year. As I mentioned, we've held 3 Bike Master Plan subcommittee meetings. We had a community workshop last year. We had 31 attendees at the workshop.
There's one coming up again, right?
There's one coming up, yes. And these 31 attendees were very vocal. The majority of them were bicycle advocates, very vocal. You know, bike advocates are not shy. So they had lots of input, lots of feedback. And I was just extremely impressed with Megan and Brooke. They did a really good job of facilitating. I know Min was there. They did a really good job of facilitating that meeting. They know their stuff. This is what they do. They do design charrettes. They do workshops. And so they're very, and both of them are huge bicycle advocates, and they ride, they cycle. And so they know what they're talking about. And so it was very helpful to have them at the workshop, facilitating the workshop. And at the workshop, we had all these stations. And all the stations had, you know, one station, for example, had, tell us what type of cyclist are you? Are you an avid cyclist? Are you just a casual rider? Do you just ride on the Iron Horse Trail? Or do you actually get on bike lanes on collector or arterial roadways? That was very helpful. And the majority of the people are just casual cyclists who like to ride on the Iron Horse Trail. But the majority of the 31 people that were there were avid cyclists. They're riding on San Ramon Valley Boulevard. You know, they want dedicated bike lanes, bike boxes. Yeah, yeah. So they have a lot of ideas about what they want. Yeah, separated bike lanes. So that was really good to hear from the community at that bike workshop. So at the city, within the city, we've received the existing conditions report. This is a report that tells us how does the city look today. We had all our accident information, our accident database from PD that talks about, you know, pedestrian and cycle accidents that have taken place throughout the city, our existing bike network, where are some opportunities. So that all of that information has been forwarded to the city in one comprehensive report, and we're reviewing that information now. The Bike Master Plan developed a vision statement. You'll see the vision statement in the Bike Master Plan, and we are holding a second community workshop on Thursday, March 8th at San Ramon City Hall. And that workshop is going to be the introduction to the community of the draft plan and the 87 projects. And those projects will be prioritized based on our priority matrix. So that will be the opportunity for us to tell the public, you came to the workshop last fall, You had all these issues and concerns. We've listened to you. Here's what we've developed, and here's what we're going to forward to the city council, but let us know what you think. Do you like these list of projects? We're hoping they're going to say yay. And we're going to have to be very frank with people. You know, the list is, it's $11 million. We're not going to fund all those projects the first year.
Yeah.
That's just not going to happen. I need to be very realistic with the public that that is not going to happen. You can go and, you know, advocate to the council as much as they want, but, you know, we're in budget season right now, and I can tell you, unless we have an $11 million grant to go do everything, it's highly unlikely we're going to do all of that. But we don't have to. It gives the purpose of the prioritization is to identify, you know, one or two priority projects that we can forward this year as part of our budget cycle. And then we have this list, and we can rely on that list over the course of the next 5 years. And if we go after grants, we have a list that we can pull down when we're, you know, pull projects from the list when grant opportunities are before us. So that workshop, again, is on Thursday, March 8th.
What time?
6 o'clock?
We're planning for 6 o'clock, but we haven't finalized the time yet.
How will we get it published out to the community?
So we're working on a notice with the consultant right now. Mm-hmm. So we have a mailing list that we sent out notices to last time, and then we've since added on to that list.
And anybody can attend.
Oh, yeah, anyone can attend. It'll be posted and, you know, on our website and everything.
But the subcommittee, the bike subcommittee, meets on Thursday, March 1st. So at that meeting on March 1st, the subcommittee will get the first draft of the plan. So the subcommittee will get the plan. They're going to get the list of the priority projects. They'll have all that information. So when we have the community workshop, at least the subcommittee members will have had an opportunity to review everything and have their comments and feedback. So what I really would like to do this evening is kind of just go through the priority matrix, get your comments and feedback. But what I would like to start off with is the priority matrix is in your packet. So the priority matrix really is it's kind of a best practices of what other cities have done. Because here's our challenge. We have 87 projects that we've identified. How do we go and prioritize those projects? As all of you know, for example, when we want to install a speed hump on a street, is it the neighborhood that goes to council and screams the loudest? Is that the neighborhood that's going to get the speed hump? No. There's a process, and we have to prioritize. You know, there's this whole process that we go through to determine whether or not, one, the street meets warrants for speed humps. Is it high volume? Is it high speeds? Are the residents, 75% of the residents on that street, are they in favor of it? So we took that concept and we said that's similar to what we need to do with the bike master plan. If we take this list to the council and just say, here you go, good luck,
yeah,
they're going to look at us and say, okay, what do you want us to do with this list of projects? And they're all going to have their pet projects.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't do that. And we certainly don't want it to become a neighborhood by neighborhood by neighborhood, right? There's got to be some mechanism in place for us to prioritize projects. So we've done a couple of things. One, we've used the expertise with Tool Design. They've done this all over the Bay Area and all over the U.S. We've used best practices from other cities here in California, and then outside of California. I've had conversations with some of my colleagues from Lafayette, Danville, Pleasanton, Livermore. These are cities that have implemented green bike lanes or bike infrastructure. And I've gotten sort of, you know, the good and bad from those cities. What worked, what didn't work. Pleasanton, I took a lot of input from my colleague Mike in Pleasanton. Pleasanton has really taken, and I'm not saying that other cities haven't, Lafayette has done a phenomenal job, but Pleasanton is similar to the city in terms of the size, the infrastructure, And I really like the way Pleasanton went through at the staff level and prioritized their projects. So a lot of what we're doing is similar to what Pleasanton has done. And the consultant with Pleasanton, it wasn't Tool, it was Fear and Piers. And Fear and Piers is a well-known transportation planning, traffic engineer. Well, they're really planners, but they've got some traffic engineers at Fear and Piers.
Yeah.
But Pleasanton has also worked with TJKM and other traffic consultants, and I really believe, and after I saw Mike's plan, they have a really good bike master plan, and I really like the way they prioritize their projects. So we took a lot of data from the city of Pleasanton. I'm not going to lie about that. We did. We took a lot of sort of the best practice from Pleasanton and sort of what Mike experienced when they were ranking and prioritizing projects and what worked and what didn't work. So that was very, very helpful. And then we used our own RTC program and how we, and then our CIP program. So where we are, we have this list of 87 projects. We have probably 25 or close to 30 of those are signage and striping. So that's going to help us. So the first thing we've decided at the staff level, we're going to pull all the signage and striping projects out of the priority list, and we're going to put them in their own category and just call them signage and striping. A lot of those projects, if it's signage or striping, when we're repaving a street, it can just get included as part of the repavement. So I've already had that discussion with Robin Bartlett. He's our division manager in our engineering group who's responsible for the pavement management program. And he goes, look, he goes, if we're going to repave Broadmoor or Devona or Ivy Hill, if you have a list of signage and striping that's needed on that street, we're just going to include it as part of our bid packet and get it done. Which is great.
Absolutely.
So we're going to pull all the signage and striping projects out, and then that will leave us with probably close to about 55 projects. Now, some of those projects, I'll talk a little bit more when we go through the priority and ranking, but some of those projects are very expensive, and they're big projects. They probably would require a CEQA. Not a lot. There's probably two or three of them. So that's if you have to do a CEQA analysis or any environmental document, that adds money to the project. So it's likely that a project at that magnitude is probably not going to be funded right away. It's going to be further down. But the priority and the ranking helps us to start identify and prioritize projects where we can go to council with a methodology that makes sense to them, and it's not a, well, that's a project that Amy likes, or our traffic engineers really want to do that, or a tool thinks it's the thing that we should do, or this is tax favorite project, or Mark Ballack said we need to put a bike everybody has a favorite project, and we can't go to council with a favorite project. We need to go with a ranking of projects. At the end of the day, they're going to decide. They may just say, well, we know that these three projects are the number one projects, but this project over here, it's near City Center, and maybe Sunset has money. So, and actually we do have that in our priority and ranking. If there's other funds that can help us, So that's what we've done internally. So right now we took city staff and we put people on teams. I know this sounds, but this it's kind of how we did it. So we had a team of staff members from engineering, a team of staff members from planning, a team of staff members from transportation, and the teams ranked the projects. Then we all met a week ago, and we put all the projects, and we all gave our scores. Now we all have scores, and we're averaging those scores. Some of the projects were really close. But what we have found out, and Atul, you can probably appreciate this, a big chunk of the projects, they all fell within this 18, 19, 20 point range. So now, okay, well, half the projects are there, so now we're going to, some of them are going to break them up into segments. Like if we have San Ramon Valley Boulevard, we'll break up San Ramon Valley Boulevard into segments. Maybe take the northern end of San Ramon Valley Boulevard, the central San Ramon Valley Boulevard, and the southern part of San Ramon Valley Boulevard. So that's where we are now, and then we are going to, we need to wrap up our ranking, and we're still waiting for data from PD. We have to add some of the safety collision data. We didn't have all that, and the planners didn't have the information. We probably weren't clear with our planning staff that, you know, the safety category is not, you know, safety, it's actually data from PD that we need to incorporate into the prioritization. So we need to go through and finalize that, and we're doing that within the next week and a half. And then we're going to forward that to Tool. We're going to put it in our GIS system at the city, and then we're going to have this big map. And at the community workshop, we're going to have this map that shows all the projects and where the projects are located and how they ranked and scored. So
at the workshop, are you going to ask for input from the public on on the ranking?
Oh, on the ranking? Well, here's the...
Because you're going to keep going back in circles if you keep doing it.
Well, so I'm glad you asked that question. Now, some members of the public may not want to hear this, but the ranking needs to be... To your point, if we have the public do that, we will have projects all over the place. Well, we're never going to get a ranking. So, no, we are doing the ranking based on this priority matrix. So the city staff, that's made up of professional planners, traffic engineers, we're doing the ranking. But is it the final? We can tweak it based on input from the community. But for the most part, we're going to do the ranking, and we're going to present that ranking to the community and let them know where the projects. Otherwise, if we let the community, you know, some of you may have a different opinion, but, you know, we've made that decision internally that we need to do the ranking. Otherwise, it becomes a, well, here, council, you guys do the ranking. Here's the scores. And we just do not want to get into where it turns into a community-based ranking and scoring based on what?
Who showed up that night.
Yeah, exactly, and based on...
Well, the problem is the community's prioritization is based upon
their
what
input.
I want.
Yes, right. Exactly. Yeah. It's not based on facts. It's not,
it doesn't matter.
It's not based on...
Yeah, it's more important to have a stoplight on San Ramon Valley Boulevard, but no, I want my driveway repaved. And that's why you got to be so much circumspect on obviously the community you're allowed to.
Otherwise, we would just leave the list of 87 projects and not do it, and just say, "Here you go.
Tell us what you want to do.
Tell us what you want to do, and whoever screams the loudest gets it." And that, and you know, we had this experience with speed humps many, many years ago. We didn't have a criteria, and so I think it was Veracruz neighborhood who screamed the loudest, and they got speed humps. And after that, we developed this process. But that was many, many years ago, and the city was still a fairly new city.
I think that's it's good to go over the process and how you came up with with the final list, so that they can see it's not just an opinion based.
Exactly, and it's not just this is what the staff thinks we should be doing. No, this is based on best practices. It's based on how other cities rank and score projects. It's based on best practices across the U.S. And there is a method to this prioritization. So what you have before you, you'll see it's stamped draft. And the categories that we have listed are the most important categories that the subcommittee responded to when we went to the subcommittee last October. We asked the subcommittee, tell us what you feel about, you know, connectivity, safety, safe routes to school. Should equity be, and surprisingly, equity was not a big issue with the bike subcommittee. So, and I brought this up because I remember this discussion with the subcommittee. When we rank projects on a countywide basis, these are grant projects. I've been on many of these committees. So when we rank projects on a countywide basis, we have to take into account equity countywide. Mm-hmm. So equity plays an important role when you're ranking countywide projects, because you don't want all this county's money to be spent in West County and then South County gets nothing. Sure. Or East County, you know, for many years, yeah. East County got tons of money for EBART and Highway 4 widening. So some of the cities said, okay, the next round of funding, you need to have a point system where equitable distribution of these funds, you get points. So SWAT, or the southwest part of the county, has an opportunity to compete with East County. So, but when I brought equity up into this ranking, you'll see it's not on here, the subcommittee members didn't feel like, well, if it's an important project, it's an important project. You know, if most of the projects are in South Sandra Mound versus the west side, or in Dirtery Valley, not mm-hmm. even Dirtery Valley, you've got all these different neighborhoods in Dirtery Valley. If it's, you know, near Windermere Ranch Middle School versus Gale Ranch Middle School, well, if it meets, you know, if it meets all these other points, then, or the matrix, then you should move forward with it. So you'll see equity's not on here. So these categories are all based on input from the bike subcommittee. So the first category, I'm on page, what, my glasses on? I'm on 20. Page 20 of the packet. So you'll see connectivity. So connectivity really is, does this project connect to other bike lanes? Does it connect to different land uses? Does it connect to an existing bike lane, bike path, or bike trail? So you can see how the points, so we have points assigned to a project that provides a new or complete continuous, what we call low stress facility. So you can get anywhere from 4 to 1 point.
And that's on street as well as off.
Yes. Yes. So that's connectivity. Demand and comfort. These are bicycle projects that would attract new biking trips based on the stress experienced by a cyclist. So these would be facilities that feel more comfortable to people, such as the Iron Horse Trail. So if we were to install a protected bikeway, a protected bikeway would be a dedicated bike lane that has a barrier protecting it. So that would get more points than, say, a non-protected bike lane.
So, Lisa, did they do a bike leveler service on corridors and figure out which corridor had the heaviest
cyclists?
Yes.
Congestion. Yes. I forgot what we called it. It wasn't like a level of service, but yes, we do have that. I can't remember off the top of my head what the term was, but yes, we do have that.
Okay.
Do you remember the term they used? I can't remember what that term is now. It'll come to me hopefully by the end of the evening, but we do have that. So then another category we have is key destinations and demand. Now, key destinations are destinations that will get you to the transit center, a park and ride lot, a commercial center, you know, city center, the shops at Bishop Ranch, Alcosta, Gateway Center, school sites, that we have our Bark and Park lots. and so when we assign points here, this is similar to how the authority assigns points to projects that are near what we call PDAs, or priority development areas. So we kind of did the same thing. If you're within a quarter mile of a key destination, then you get the highest points. If you're within a half a mile, then you get 2 points. And then if you're, you know, if you're near a well-used existing bike route or within a half mile of a key destination.
Does the key destination include the future key destination?
Yes, yes. And then feasibility, we went back and forth on this, but not back and forth, but there was a lot of discussion on this. So feasibility really is, so some projects require right-of-way, some projects require a CEQA document, some projects require political support. And so feasibility encompasses all of that.
So what about ones that, let's say you have to remove parking to get the bike lane in, or you have to reduce the number of travel lanes to squeeze the bike lane in? Is that what's covered in political, or is that somewhere else?
I thought we had that somewhere else. Hold on. Because we do talk about, because we do have projects that require removing bike travel lanes. Where do we have that?
Because I can see how that can be very controversial.
Yes.
And maybe fall into feasibility.
Yeah, I think it is supposed to be. Now, we do address that. I thought it was under feasibility, but... we do need to address that.
Is that probably will affect your CEQA document?
We do need to call that out, and I know we've talked about that. I just don't see it here. But that is an important, so this is lane removal and or parking removal. Okay. That's a good point. I know we've talked about that, but we do need to include that. All right. So the other criteria we have is safety. Obviously, safety was a big issue for a lot of people. and then we have, so safety, there's kind of two categories. There's on-street, and then there's off-street. So on-street, these are bike infrastructure that's actually on a roadway, and then the off-street are paths or trails. And then the last criteria is safe routes to school. So this really focuses on whether or not the project is in a safe routes to school. You know, all of you have heard of our safe routes to school program. So are these projects in a safe routes to school area? Are they along a school frontage? Do they face the front entrance of a school? Are they within 1/8 of a school, a quarter mile of a school, or half a mile of a school site? So those are our priority matrix, and I do need to, I'm glad you brought that up, Atul, because I do need to make sure that we do have this lane removal and parking removal, because that was, we've talked about that. And I know we have some projects that do require removing a travel lane, and our traffic engineers are like, oh, that's
yeah,
not...
going ballistic.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Right.
Right?
It's not gonna
right.
Go for it.
So... So there you have it. If you have any other questions or comments, please forward those to me. We're going to be finalizing that project list within the next week and a half, so any feedback or input you have would be very helpful.
When I went through this, I was thinking that, again, we were talking about that community meeting, having this kind of a process to select out what you're going to do, what you're not going to do based upon the particular issues in each particular project, that can overcome a lot of political and public grief.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was very well.
Okay, so next, I'm sorry, Min, did you have a question? Okay. So next steps, so I'm just trying to go back to what we're doing next. Okay, so we are The draft plan has been circulated to city staff, so we're all commenting on it. All of our comments are due next Friday, the 23rd, to our consultant. On Thursday, March 1st, all of this will be presented to the bike subcommittee. So Al and Bob, both of you will get this on Thursday, March 1st at the bike subcommittee meeting. Then we go to the community meeting on March 8th. Yeah, so under next steps it said March 6th. That's wrong. It's March 8th. It's Thursday, March 8th. And then we're going to the Parks Commission on March 14th. Planning Commission on March 20th. The City's Policy Committee on March 28th. Where's TAC?
It's over in March.
Oh, there it is, TAC, March, yeah, I just don't have the date. What date is that in March?
The 15th.
The 15th? Okay, March 15th. The 15th? Yep, okay. March 15th.
That was 1-5 or 1-6?
1-5.
1-5.
Yep. Okay, and then our...
So it should get pushed then, right? So then it should be actually, instead of number 4, it should be up to, sequentially.
Yeah.
We'll get it between 7 and 8.
So we'll get these after the Park Commission.
Yes, it's the day after, and it's after the community workshop, which will be really helpful, so we can have all the input and feedback from the community workshop. And then ultimately, we take this to City Council on April 11th for final adoption. And that date is really important because that's around the same time that we're working on budgets for next year and the capital improvement program.
I'm sorry, Lisa. Weren't we going to give the draft plan at the same time that the subcommittee receives the plan?
Yes, the TAC members will get it.
So it would be before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we'll email it out.
Yes, thank you, Amy.
That's
very good
I'm
point.
Like,
right.
I'm like, I know there was a reason why the date wasn't put in.
Yes, thank you. So you're not going, so TAC is not going, you're not going to, the first time you see it is not going to be when you get your TAC packet.
Yep.
Okay. When it gets sent out to the bike subcommittee, the TAC members will get it.
Yep.
Which is March 1st.
March 1st, yes. Thank you, Amy. That's a good point. And you'll receive a number of documents. You're going to see the draft plan. You will see the list of projects. You will see the toolkit, and then the appendices. I think it was the bike network, the analysis, everything that's in the what is it? It's in your staff report. Oh, the table of contents. Everything that's the bike master plan will include the executive. So you're going to see all of this. And then we'll review it at the March 15th TAC meeting, and I'll get your final input, comments, and feedback. Then at the end of March, we have, you know, barely 2 weeks to get all of our comments and everything together. So we go to City Council. Now, just in case something happens and we're not ready for City Council, we can go to the second meeting to City Council in April, because we take budget to City Council in May. So I have a little bit of room there just in case we need to go to the second meeting to Council. Because the last thing, there's this huge process that we go through to get items on the City Council agenda and a review process. And so I need to make sure I get all the comments from all these different groups all incorporated into the staff report, and then it gets reviewed and circulated in time for April 11th. And so we may or may not make that date, but I have a little bit of time in April. And then at the end of the day, what we want to see is at least one or two projects recommended for funding in next fiscal year 18-19 budget. So that's that. That's the bike master plan.
Any comments or questions?
Was there discussion on hitting the low-hanging fruit projects first, you know, short, medium, and long-term ones?
Yeah.
Short ones, maybe the ones that you could do in the next 6 months to a year scored higher than the ones that, you know, that you talked about, that have to go through environmental and political process.
Well, a lot of the signage and striping, some of those, yes, can be done in short range because some of them are just some additional signage and stenciling on a roadway. So, yeah, some of those we can do with our regular maintenance budget. Yeah, but we do, but to your point, are we ranking them? Are we giving them points for? No, but that's something we can consider adding to the point to the matrix. So,
that's a good point.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okie doke.
Mm-hmm.
And moving right along.
I'm PJ this evening, yes. I'm PJ, yeah.
Okay. All
right.
PJ activist or property.
All right, so there's just three updates in here. We have Mangles Drive, Mangles and Estero. Quite frankly, all of this is Cal High students parking in the neighborhood.
Every bit of it.
Yeah. Gosh. So we actually... So we have our school district liaison meeting tomorrow, and Sarah Cranford, the principal from Cal High, will be there. We're going to really hone in and ask Sarah to send out reminders to students. Because what's happening on Mangles and Estero, it's really just parents waiting to pick up their kids in the afternoon, and sometimes they're not on their best behavior. They're blocking driveways. So we just need the school to send something out. You know, don't block driveways. Don't block a fire hydrant. Don't, you know...
Be courteous to them.
Yeah, don't double park in front of somebody's home and throw litter out the window. And so that's what's happening with that. So more to come on that. North Bellingham, we have a lot going on with North Bellingham. So the resident has met with our mayor, expressing some concerns about North Bellingham. We've provided the mayor with some background information. Our city manager has the information. We are doing sort of our last and final data gathering. PD they're going to be doing spot check of parking at Highlands very early in the morning in the next week or so. And then they're going to be doing comparing the parking on Bellingham. And then we have a meeting with Highlands Apartments the week of March 5th, because we think that Highlands could probably be doing a little bit better job of getting some of those people to park within the Highlands community. So more to come next month. We'll give you an update on our meeting with Highlands. We haven't had any other direction from the mayor or from the city manager. They've met with Mr. Jones. So we'll have more info for you.
Available, but it's for guests.
Is that
what I understand?
Well, they're telling us that they don't have any parking, that all the parking is used up. But a couple things. One is they have garages, and if you lease, you can lease a garage, but are people leasing the garage to put stuff in it, or are they leasing the garages to put cars in them?
Oh, they have separate garages that you can...
Yeah, you can lease. So you pay your lease, but then you can also lease a garage. So it's different than Fioli. Fioli, the CCNRs, you had to park your car in your garage because there wasn't a lot of on-street parking. Whereas the apartments, you can lease your parking garage, and you can use it as, you know, your storage. And not use, so then where's the car parking at?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, well, no. So we're gonna meet with them to ask them. So, and then we're also gonna have PD because we've gone out and done observations. What we can't do is I can't have a staff member go out at 3:00 in the morning and do a parking count in Highlands. And so PD can do that. So they're going to be doing that. They're going to do it a couple of nights. Because, you know, if there's 20 parking spaces available and the only reason why they're not parking there is because they don't have a permit, then something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Either they're not paying for it or they're not supposed to. So... we just need PD to go out and do so. They're going to be doing that in the next week, 2 weeks.
I wonder how much those garages would cost to rent versus a storage locker.
Yeah, I
have two people in a pretty big spot. It shouldn't be.
Yeah. So more to come, and then Featherment Drive.
was something this morning about on Nextdoor about someone speeding, almost hitting somebody.
On Featherman?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, PJ has, PD has gone out there. I know that they've done a lot of selective enforcement out there, so she'll have some data for you next month on Featherman. I'm not really familiar with it. Has there been a lot of complaints?
No. I think it's been just the neighbors speeding.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this is isolated driving.
Yeah, there's no school nearby.
It's your own neighbors that are doing this thing.
You know, that street also, the way it's made, it has like indentations. Yeah. So you got to be careful where you get
hurt. Yeah, because people
But it's not cut through, though. Who's going to cut through there?
There's no school or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're right. Those are homeowners.
What I keep telling you about your expectations of intelligent life on this planet.
So that's the update.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And then the last item in your packet is the radar trailer schedule for February. And then next month we'll have the data from the portable ones that we're doing also. I mean, from the temp ones.
Yep.
Okay. So we'll have some data next month as well. Okay.
Excellent. Okay.
That's it.
Thanks again.
You're welcome.
Moving right along. Any committee member items?
Just have a quick question. Has a new Doherty extension had speed analyzed with the car?
The new Doherty, yes. The speed limit, yes. Yeah. So we took it to the speed limit ordinance, went to council in January, then again this past Tuesday night. It's been adopted, so now we're on the 30-day waiting period. So the speed limits, or the new speed limits on these streets go into effect, March?
30 days.
It's 30 days from February, went to council on February 13th, so 30 days from the 13th.
Yep.
Did council change anything?
No.
No.
So the extension is 50 miles an hour?
50.
Mm-hmm. And then Bollinger was up to 50, I think it was, and some other ones.
I think that there are 7 streets that are changing, yes. In fact, we did an info session on last Thursday. And the purpose of the info session was to educate residents on how we set speeds. In the city, we had 4 people that showed up, and none of them had any concerns about the speed limit ordinance. It was all about stop signs.
How was that broadcasting? I didn't know anything about
it. We sent it on Nextdoor.
We sent it to all the homeowner association property managers, and then all 86 of those in San Ramon. And then we posted it on to Nextdoor, the city website, and all the city facilities.
Mm-hmm. I just talked to people a couple days ago talking about how it's all set and what's going on with speed limits. Didn't hear that.
And then we had a public hearing in January, and no one attended.
At council. Yeah. At council meeting.
Yeah, no one attended that.
Yeah.
Or no one spoke.
It's on Nextdoor. It went to all the communities in Sierra Mountain?
Yep.
Okay. I'll look it up.
Yeah, and there's a lot of comments on Nextdoor, so we've been responding on Nextdoor. Yeah, we've been sending responses back to people.
I saw it.
I think I did.
Did you see it?
Oh, good.
Some people saw it because we were getting comments back.
12% of San Ramon saw it. Okay. Okie doke. Moving along.
Oh, wait. I do have one committee member item.
Oh, that's right.
Staff is proposing to move the committee time to 6 p.m. So we just
For me, it's fine.
Does that work for everybody?
Okay.
So we just, we've been thinking about doing this for years, but then we finally asked the city clerk, hey, you know, what's the process? She's like, just put it in the minutes.
Ask your committee members if they're
okay
with it.
Yeah, if they're okay with it, that's it. So that's great. Thank you so much.
So we don't want to do next month?
Can we start it next month?
Yep, so we can start it. I'll check with the city clerk one more time. I know they need to post it officially on the website. Mm-hmm. So I'll talk with Brene about that tomorrow.
It's just 6:30, we're sitting around,
we're waiting for the committee.
At 6 o'clock is fine, but 6, we just want to make sure. I mean, we know people work, so hopefully 6 o'clock will work for people.
Yeah, that's what we just wanted to check.
Okay. Okay, good. So let us know, and then next month we'll just put it in bold, new time.
Yep,
6
exactly.
O'clock.
I'll send that out in the email.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay, City Council not here. Planning Commission is not here. Senior Advisory Committee is here. Well, that
nothing.
Member could speak if she wanted to.
Nothing. I'm impressed Susan saw next door last feeling.
I know, that's nice to hear.
And Teen Council is not here, so unless I hear a really loud opposition, we're out of here.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you all. Thank you.